Columbia Morning continues now. Our guest is Chief of the Police Department in Columbia, Ken Burton. Always appreciate you being here. Thank you, sir.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me.
Couple of things I want to talk about, and one we were just talking off the air, and I brought this up with the city manager yesterday. The city council at its last meeting said go forward with a plan that would culminate with a clearer plan of community policing by the end of August this year. So help me understand from the head person of that department what you expect over the next 6 months.
Well, I expect that we'll be introspective. We'll look at what we're doing and what we'd like to do. And this is in conjunction with the community, of course, and find out where we want to go. We have actually been engaging in community policing for 9 years, well, before I even got here. But only to the extent that we could with the resources we have. So a big piece of this is looking at resources and what kind of police department we want to have in the city of Columbia and then how we get there.
For those who are not emotionally attached to this, and I'm not saying you are, I'm saying others who have talked, but you are, and I'm not. But for those who look at it as a charge that they have to do something about this, those of us who are not in that realm think, man, we've talked about this a long time.
Well, we talked about it, expanding it and doing different ways, doing different things. You know, when I came here, it started out with a downtown unit, and then we went to Douglas Park. And what we've done over and over and over again now with the community outreach unit is proving that it works. It's what people want. But it's very expensive. It can be expensive. And while we make an effort to do it on a daily basis, sustaining that, you know, with the demands on police services is difficult sometimes. And people don't understand that.
One of the things that yesterday in the interview with City Manager Mike Mathis, I asked him about his appointment or his selection. I don't know. Do you look at it as an appointment or selection? Basically, he said that when he asked for anybody who might be interested in heading up city efforts as a police department representative on the conversation about community policing. And he said he had five who said, yes, I'd like to do this. He interviewed him. He thought highly of all of them. He selected Robert Fox to do this, Sergeant Fox. Now, what you just said about daily community policing is done. The city manager mentioned this yesterday. From your perspective as the head of the department, what is he doing with community policing?
Well, Robert is a rising star, I think, in the department. He happens to be on the lieutenant's list right now. He did very well in that process. So I don't know what the future holds for him. It depends on kind of what changes in the department. But he made an extra effort. And when we were talking with him, it became very clear that he believes in what he's doing, and he believes that officers can make time, not a lot of time sometimes, but can make time, and he insisted on his officers having one positive non-enforcement contact with a citizen every shift, and it kind of took off on him. He was getting officers, because he required that they send him an email or a text to tell him who they met and what they said and what they talked about. And he started getting selfies with business owners or citizens on the street. So he saw very quickly that it was working, you know, and that the officers wanted to do it. They loved doing it. They enjoyed doing it. And I think it was kind of an epiphany for him that you talk about officers don't want to engage in community policing. Nothing could be farther from the truth. He talks about how, we never deal with people at their best, you know, when we get called. Mm-hmm. There's always something wrong. You know, whether your kid ran off or your car got stolen or your car got broken into or your house got broken into, it's never anything positive. So it gave his officers an opportunity to create a positive interaction with a citizen. And that the officers really enjoyed it when they had that opportunity.
Earlier in your career, you were an officer. You were out there doing what police officers on the street are doing now. How hard would it have been? You might have done some of this occasionally or maybe had an opportunity to do it every day. But I'm just thinking, if I put myself into the position of a police officer, she or he doing that every day whenever they're out on a shift, I mean, the creativity that you could have as far as in your mind saying, okay, I have been asked to do this. But then at the same time, working that into your regular shift, how difficult is that?
Actually, my recollection is that I did it anyway. Uh-huh. And you know, whether it be standing in line at Burger King, you know, trying to get your lunch, and a mother walking up with her 5-year-old and say hello to the nice police officer. and then interacting with that five-year-old. So we did it, but we didn't think about it. And I think most police officers do it and don't think about it. And you, if you ask them to go back and when was the last time you engaged in community policing, they wouldn't be able to tell you.
Right.
But if you said, when was the last time you had a positive interaction with a five-year-old or a 10-year-old or somebody thanked you for what you did, they'll remember that.
It would be fun to see what those kinds of interactions have been here locally through Sergeant Fox. Have others picked this up also? Are other people doing this throughout other beats?
It happens every day.
Yeah. maybe not as organized as what he's doing.
Police officers do nice things for citizens, and we've had some that kind of got some publicity, from finding a person on the side of the road that's got a dead battery and going and buying a battery and putting mm-hmm. it in their car, or finding somebody that's homeless around Thanksgiving and going and getting them a motel room. I mean, those things happen every day, but they're not publicized. And a lot of it's because the officers don't want any publicity. They just want to help people.
Chief Ken Burton is our guest. You can call us at 442-8255 if you want to join in. I want to refer to a couple of things here. One, what you've just said reminded me of a section on the CPD Internal Affairs Unit releasing its 2017 Annual Internal Affairs Report. Part of that is a number of compliments, too, I think.
Right.
What do you think of when you see, for example, I guess in 2017, were there 116 compliments received? I mean, there are more than that, but those are compliments that are officially called
formalized to
you or somebody at a switchboard someplace. Somebody takes the time to say your officer or someone in the police department did this.
Most of the time they come in the form of a letter or an email, and it's something that the officer made a big enough impression that somebody took the time to call and say thank you. That the officer, I had one on my desk yesterday, a lady ran a red light and she was stopped, and she said that her husband was in the hospital, she was not doing well, and this was just the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
And the officer prayed with her and then turned her loose and said, I hope your husband's okay. And, that's very, very powerful, when somebody, an officer takes the time and recognizes this person was in crisis and recognized it and acted accordingly.
Hmm.
And so those kind of things, they happen every day, but it doesn't happen as often that people take the time to sit down and talk about it or write about it or whatever.
Yeah.
And that came up through Facebook.
So she posted that just out there for other people to
correct,
know.
Correct.
And somehow it triggered a something that I don't know Facebook really.
Yeah,
well,
she posted on our
somebody
page.
Got that and it ended up on there. Well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
What else from the report that I referred to, the affairs? I know how newspapers have summarized it, and I know what I look at when I look at this, and I don't know whether 148,000 stops. Well, actually, responses, half of those being some that were calls for service and half of those were self-initiated. I don't know if that's a lot or not a lot. That's more than one per resident of Columbia City, and I don't know what that means.
It's about average for a city our size. The self-initiated stuff, you don't know what that's related to. I mean, it could be as simple as somebody just, like I said, talking at Burger King in the line, or it could be something that an officer was investigating or whatever. But that's a lot of contacts. That's a lot of contacts that officers have every day. And when you look at it, a department of our size, that's about average, I guess.
When you look at other parts of this, which is like officers using actions to overcome resistance, as the head man in this department, what do you look at? What do you want to see there? What do you think we, who are not the professionals doing this, should understand about those things?
Well, we should change the way we looked at things. Everybody used to call that use of force. And what officers are doing, they're not using force. They're responding to resistance. And so it's a mindset kind of thing, but we react to my expectation is that our officers react to the other person's actions. If the person is compliant, then there's no issues. We don't use any kind of force to effect an arrest or whatever. We respond to the other person's actions. So if they resist us, then we have to overcome that resistance. And I'm proud to say that we don't have the issues that a lot of agencies have, where we're out there using force, and it's looked at as overuse of force. I think we have a very good handle on it. Our officers know what's expected of them, and I tell officers that they should treat the public that they come in contact with, regardless of the circumstances, like it was a relative of theirs. And then the outcome is more positive more often than not.
It's interesting to me to think of all of the whole year, and a city like Columbia, according to this report, officers drew or exhibited their firearms 166 times, fired them in self-defense or defense of others for only three times. That to me seems low. I understand that if somebody's listening to me and they were involved in that, they would say, you know what, one that I was involved in was the one that shocked me and got me. But that overall, those are low numbers for the amount of contacts that there were.
Very low numbers. And I think that's a testament to what I was just saying, is that our officers know what's expected of them and they respond accordingly.
How about also 52 complaints of those 147,660 citizen contacts, 52 complaints from citizens alleging police misconduct as defined by city ordinance?
Right. That's very, very low numbers.
And unfounded of those 52, nearly half, 25 were unfounded, 15 exonerated, 5 were sustained, and a handful would make up for the rest of that. What does that mean?
Well, 5 of them being sustained means that the allegations that the citizen made were true. So, or that the officer engaged in conduct that we would consider a violation of policy. So 5 is not a very big number. The not sustained ones are the ones that we can't prove or disprove one way or the other. There's evidence on both sides. Exonerated means the officer did what the citizen said, but the officer was justified in doing so.
When I look further into the report, then, it said that they Columbia Police Department initiated 51 further investigations following contact from citizens. These contacts did not meet the definition of a complaint. So this was another category that you wouldn't say broke a city ordinance, but was of a concern enough for a citizen that they said, I have a problem with what a police officer did. Would you look into this or respond?
Yeah, and the vast majority of those are, I got arrested and it should have been the other guy.
I got you.
Yeah. And so we look into them because they came to us with an allegation that the officer did something that, you know, they thought should be different. And so we look into them and, you know, in the vast majority of the cases, we find the officer just made a decision based on the input that they got from the complainant and the witnesses and those kinds of things and made a decision on it, and the person didn't like the decision.
Of those 51, 3 were sustained, 1 is pending review, and all the rest of them were cleared off of that. Chief Ken Burton, our guest, we said we'd take calls. Caller, you're on with the chief. Thank you for calling us today. Hi.
Could I talk about roundabouts, or are we just talking about the neighborhood policing?
Well, say what you want to say about roundabouts, and we'll see if the chief has any comment on that.
When I get to a roundabout, if I have traffic coming from my left and also from my right, who do I yield to? Because I do have a yield sign in front of me.
Well, now, I hope they're not coming from the right. Now, there may be traffic on your right that's waiting to enter the roundabout.
That's what it is.
Okay, all right. Chief, you want to answer this?
It's kind of like coming to a four-way stop. You just you be courteous, and if you're the first one there, then you have the right of way, and if you're not the first one there, then let them go. When in doubt, I'd let them go on. And just be play it safe.
Okay.
I always try to yield to the left. The left person is the one I have the most concern with. The right person may not be patient. The person on your right may not be patient, and they may buzz out there, but you need to watch on your left first, because they're all going counterclockwise if they're doing this right.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Before we run out of time, your thought when we were talking about police officers, your thought about Matt Pitzer's suggestion for enticing or making it kind of a adding to the attractiveness of being a police officer in Columbia.
You know, I'm a big believer in getting outside the nine dots, you know, and I think Mr. Pitzer's idea is one of those things that, you know, you just wouldn't normally, you know, think of, well, hey, let's do this. Anything that could make it more attractive to be a police officer in this day and age, I think is commendable. And if the council decides to do something like that, I'm fully supportive of anything that would benefit my officers. But it's one of those things that you know, there's costs involved, and the analysis will have to be done. I'm sure he's done some homework already before he brought the idea forward, but I fully support it. You know, anything we can do, and that goes for any city employee. I think we should, you know, try to do right by our employees in period, you know, and if we can, if one of those things that we hit on that are kind of non-traditional that makes it more attractive to be a Columbia police officer as opposed to a St. Louis police officer or a Kansas City police officer, then I think we ought to do it.
And what Matt Pitzer, as a city councilman, suggested to do was to offer some help, perhaps on a down payment of a home,
right,
maybe some rental assistance, and some of this to help those who would be deciding to be a police officer here, maybe, and maybe even make it a little bit better if they decided to live in an area where they were going to be policing.
Well, that's I think the key to it,
yeah.
You know, through my career, I've had the benefit of having a take home car, and my neighbors loved it. You know,
well, sure. I'd like to have my neighbor officer have a police car in his yard, too,
right,
or in his driveway.
And so I think that's another benefit. And that's something else that's been talked about. I think Mr. Trapp brought that up, you know, maybe expanding the take-home car program. But all of those things have related costs. And I've got some personal ideas. I think that, you know, a take-home car program for officers that lived in the city would be very beneficial, not only to the communities where they lived, but might save us a little money on cars in the long run, because you can buy a car, assign it to one officer, and they tend to take better care of it than the cars that are hot seated every shift.
How many are hot seated, and how many are specific? Are all of them up for anybody? Assign out a car?
No. Right now we have a limited number of take-home cars, and it's based on their assignment because of the street crimes. They get called out quite often, so we allow them to take their cars home. But the average patrol car is, you know, it's assigned to a couple of officers and they share it. But it's amazing. We have one sergeant, I won't mention his name because it embarrasses him, but actually parks his police car in his garage and leaves his personal car out in the driveway because he likes his car. He got it as a new car.
He
wants to take
care of it.
Absolutely. It's his office. So that's the way they treat him. And it's kind of a interesting phenomenon, you know, that you would take something that you don't really own and put it in your garage and leave your personal vehicle outside, but he does that.
Anything else real important that you wanted to talk about that in the last minute that I haven't asked about so far?
No, David, you've done a pretty good job.
Let me ask this real quick. I mean, this is just a testament to something that you have said and that I've learned from you over the years. If you see something in your neighborhood that doesn't look right, say something.
Absolutely.
We had a trailer. It was a construction trailer parked two houses down from me for about a week. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was there to help construction on a neighbor's house or on a project being done at Grant Elementary School. I was awake the morning. I mean, and I get up pretty early, so it was in the 3 o'clock hour when this baby was pulled up, and I thought, man, my neighbor is going to have some work done pretty early. Turned out it was stolen from Job Point, and if I just called the non-emergency number sometime that day or something, said, you know, this didn't seem right.
Right.
I should have done that.
And, you know, we'll prioritize calls anyway. So even if it doesn't seem that important to you in the overall scheme of things, go ahead and call in. And the non-emergency number is what 911 prefers. But even if you just call and let us know about it, we'll get to it eventually.
I mean, I saw the truck. I could have got the pickup truck identification. I could have seen how many guys there were. And I just totally thought, well, somebody's got some construction going on by 4 in the morning.
Lesson learned.
Yeah, it is. Chief, thank you.
Always.
Chief Ken Burton has been our guest. This is KFRU.